This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Wednesday, September 24th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, in his continuing series, engineer guy Bill Hammack examines the question, where does Champaign-Urbana's water come from? We'll also check your forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. Illinois lawmakers have approved a spending plan to prevent layoffs, cuts in services, and closures of state parks and historic sites. But there's no guarantee, as Sean Crawford reports.
The Senate followed an earlier House vote and decided to sweep about $200 million from dedicated state accounts. Lake Forest Democrat Susan Garrett.
We're here as a safety net. These people need us. This is not something that we can pretend is going to go away because it's not.
The move to approve the spending comes after weeks of protest over the impact of the governor's cuts. However, Rod Blagojevich will now have the final say. He'll decide whether or not to approve the plan. A Blagojevich spokesperson says they're taking a close look at the idea, but indicated there could be technical problems with the legislation. He also raised concerns over new numbers that show tax revenues could be way down due to the economy. Several lawmakers have publicly urged the governor to go along with the funding measure. I'm Sean Crawford.
Former Illinois Governor Jim Edgar says an ethics package approved by lawmakers this week is likely more window dressing than anything else. Edgar says he hopes it's a first step, but adds those running for state office can find ways around limits to direct contributions through their state party.
The Speaker of the House can take the money, and he could give it to his daughter, the Attorney General, who's running for governor. So, again, I'm not sure this really solves what they said they were getting at. But I think this underscores anytime you start putting limits on campaign funding, there's always loopholes.
Edgar says the ethics measure is more about perception than reality. The Republican former governor says he's failed to see a limit on campaign funds that really works, even at the federal level. But Edgar says another problem stems from the law. He says as long as the Supreme Court dictates that candidates with lots of money can spend any amount on their campaign, there will be an uneven playing field. Chicago and Illinois politicians are reacting to a new TV ad from Arizona Senator John McCain that attempts to link Illinois Senator Barack Obama with Chicago's reputation for corruption. Ben Calhoun has that story.
The ad opens with a graphic of a television.
Barack Obama, born of the corrupt Chicago political machine.
The commercial then features former U.S. Commerce Secretary Bill Daley, brother to Chicago Mayor Richard Daley. It also highlights convicted political insider Tony Rezko, State Senate President Emil Jones, and Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich.
With friends like that, Obama is not ready to lead.
I'm John McCain, and I approve this message.
Of course, it's not yet clear whether the highly local references will have national sticking power. In response, Governor Blagojevich dismissed the idea that his reputation could hurt Obama. In an interview with the Chicago Sun-Times, Bill Daley took exception to being lumped in with convicted criminal Tony Rezko. He also says McCain recently called him, quote, the greatest U.S. Commerce Secretary ever, and that as chair of the Senate Commerce Committee, McCain voted for Daley's confirmation. I'm Ben Calhoun.
Meanwhile, Chicago Mayor Richard Daley had harsh words about McCain's new ad, which attacks Obama and Chicago's reputation for corruption. Daley criticized McCain for targeting his brother Bill, and the mayor says McCain should be more cautious because of his involvement in the Keating Five savings and loan scandal.
I mean, remember, people lost their life savings. Life savings or own homes for a guy named Keating out of Arizona. You want to get tough in politics? I can get tough in politics than anyone else. When you start throwing mud, mud is going to be thrown at you and it's going to be sticking. And that, to me, just put my brother in, who's in the private sector. If they want to put me in, they should put me in.
Daley says his brother has never been a lobbyist, as is claimed in the ad. Republican Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels and Democratic challenger Jill Long Thompson sparred over education and privatization during their second of three debates before the election. Libertarian Andrew Horning also took part in the hour-long event last night at the Jasper Arts Center in Jasper. One key dispute between Daniels and Long Thompson was over leasing the state lottery to help pay for higher education. Daniels says that's one option to pay for a proposed program that would provide college scholarships to students whose families earn less than $60,000. Long Thompson says leasing the lottery is one thing she wouldn't do. She wants to expand the existing 21st Century Scholars Program, which provides financial aid to lower-income students who meet certain grade requirements. The third and final scheduled debate between the Indiana gubernatorial candidates is set for October 14th at Indiana University's Bloomington campus. Champaign's recycling program could be about to get bigger. The city council gave their staff the go-ahead last night to look at ways of expanding the recycling program. The current one includes a drop-off site on Hagen Street and curbside pickup service for houses and small apartment buildings. The expansion could mean pickup service at big apartment complexes and commercial buildings, a second drop-off site, and a longer list of materials accepted for pickup. Councilwoman Marcy Dodd says she wants to see more detailed information about how the current recycling program is used before expanding it and how much of the material hauled away is actually recycled. But she says she supports a larger program.
We're not where we were 15 years ago, and we're not even where we were a year or two ago, and we never will be. I think it's time that we start looking at this not as something that a progressive, innovative city does, but as something that's part of life. We don't have the luxury anymore not to do it.
Waste haulers in Champaign are required to provide curbside recycling service at no extra charge, while the city pays $100,000 a year for a hauler to pick up materials from its drop-off site. In Urbana, the city compensates waste haulers for curbside service, but requires them to serve apartment buildings as well as houses. Urbana residents pay a $2.50 monthly tax for recycling. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. All this week, we've been asking the question, where does Champaign-Urbana's water come from, and how are we affecting the future by what we're doing today? Today, Bill Hammack examines what it may take to use the area's massive underground water supply, the Mahomet Aquifer, responsibly.
Go ahead, Travis.
I'm with an Illinois State Geological Survey team standing on the edge of a road just south of Champaign's Willard Airport. I'm watching a key but difficult step in taking care of our water supply, knowing what's underground.
Go to the next level.
We can only see the aquifer indirectly. In this case, the team slowly lowers a special microphone into a borehole, taps a metal plate on the surface, and then measures how quickly the sound travels. They can interpret this time to reveal the makeup of the Mahomet Aquifer so that we can then carefully plan how to use it.
It's not infinite. You can't just withdraw infinite amounts of water, otherwise you would suck the whole system dry.
But Derek Winstanley of the Water Survey assures us that the aquifer is not drying up under our feet.
It's renewable from the fact that the water in the aquifer is slowly replaced by water from new precipitation as it infiltrates through the ground in the process of recharge.
About 10% of rainfall makes a 3,000-year journey through the ground to the aquifer 200 or so feet below. The rain nests in between the sand and gravel of the aquifer. This rain refills it by 1/2 inch a year, but because it covers so large an area, this is a vast amount of water. Winstanley told me that the key challenge is not how much is down there, but instead, this.
How much can you safely withdraw, and what you mean by safely? As I've said before, every time you withdraw water from the aquifer, there are some impacts. And it's really a matter of public policy decision on how much impact the people, the public, are willing to accept.
Will we accept, for example, the 7 proposed corn-to-ethanol plants, which will all draw heavily on the Mahomet Aquifer? A single gallon of ethanol takes 3 gallons of water. That's about 300 million gallons a year, or about 1 million a day. Al Weirman of the Water Survey evaluated for me the plant's possible impacts.
Frankly, I think the liberal sprinkling of 6 or 7 or 8 ethanol plants across the aquifer is not a problem. The aquifer can handle that. The concern is, what are the local impacts because of interference effects of a large withdrawal on, say, other existing users in the area, say within a mile or two of those that well or wells.
1 million gallons a day for ethanol pales when compared to the 24 million gallons a day used by Champaign and Urbana alone. Yet, if not carefully managed, we can end up with more expensive water. A severe drought might make us alter the aquifer by pumping too much, thus requiring costly movement of wells and pipelines. In planning for the future, we also need to know one more thing. How much rain will replenish the Mahomet Aquifer? We must consider how climate changes affect Illinois weather. Derek Winstanley explained to me that the state, so far, is no warmer now than it was in the 1920s.
Whereas globally, on the average, over the whole globe, there has, of course, been significant warming. But on a regional basis, we haven't seen that. When we look at the climate models, their ability to predict and simulate regional climates over Illinois, for example, they're much more limited than their ability to predict global average conditions. So we have to look at the complexities of regional climate. Don't get caught up in the simple argument of talking about global warming as if global average conditions also apply to Illinois. They don't.
This means we need to develop Illinois-specific models to predict the effect of global climate change locally. This last item raises the specter of what it means to be a global user of water, which includes all of us. Tomorrow, I look at how we use water, including how much we import from China. For AM 580 News, I'm Bill Hammack.
Bill Hammack is a chemical engineering professor at the U of I. You can hear the entire series on our water supply and more of his observations on engineering and life at his website, engineerguy.com. In the forecast for today, we've got clear skies, a little high in the mid-80s today. Partly to mostly cloudy tonight, a slight chance of a passing shower, the low 56. Sunny skies tomorrow, the high 82. Clear skies tomorrow night, the low 54. Sunny skies Friday, the high 85. Clear Friday night, the low 55. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high of 84. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Wednesday, September 24th, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bosser, AM 580 News.